Father, I give you thanks because your anointing is present and people are going to be blessed today. All right, if you have your Bibles, let's start. We'll read today. Our text scripture will come from the book of Psalms chapter 40. It's one that I have read severally. And then that's the first one. Because we are reading so many as we go on, I'll just refer to the ones we read last time. But today let's read Psalm 40. I'll read from verse 5. If you are there, say... Okay, you're not there yet. Let me give you a minute. If you are there now, say amen.
Amen.
Now, please make sure you are looking into a Bible and don't look at me. If you don't have your Bible, look at into your neighbor's own. From verse 5, it says, "Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which thou hast done." My Bible is the New American Standard. "And thy thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with thee." Now, please, I want you to notice something. He said, "God, there are many wonders that you have done." The next line he says, "And thy thoughts toward us." That is thoughts. The first word I want you to notice there is the fact that God has thoughts towards you. Everybody, say, please say thoughts. Say, "God has a thought about me." All right, please bear that in mind. He said, "There is none to compare with thee. If I will speak, declare and speak of them," that is those thoughts that God has toward us, "they will be too numerous to count." Now, next line, it now says, "Sacrifice and meal offering thou hast not desired. My ears thou hast opened." Now, if you read this particular portion from Hebrews chapter 10, the quote here is, instead of saying, "My ears thou hast opened," he said, "a body thou hast prepared for me." He said, next line, "Burnt offering and sin offering in these ones thou hast not," he said, "thou hast not required," sorry. "Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart." This is a scripture I've read so many times while trying to develop different thoughts, especially concerning the matter of purpose. And I'm going to link that again. That's the matter of purpose to what we are discussing in this season. Now, another scripture we should quickly read so that I won't read too many as we go on is from the book of Proverbs chapter 2. Just go a few pages down. You'll be in Proverbs. I want to read chapter 2. Just one verse there. Or two. Or let me just start from verse 1. It said, "My son, if you receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you," notice this, "make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. If you cry for discernment, if you lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver," this is where I was going, verse 4, "and search for her as for hidden treasures." Please, this is the most important verse in all these discussions we're having over these few weeks. He said, "If you seek her as what? Silver. And search for her as for hidden treasures." If you seek her as silver, as dollars and pounds, that's what he was saying. If you seek her the way men seek for naira, if you seek for her as for all kinds of financial gains and material possessions, verse 5 says, "If you do these things, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." And that talks about the fact that he stores up sound wisdom for the upright and all of that. But what I want to just emphasize again is that verse 4, and I will talk about it as we go on. If you seek her as you seek for money, and seek her as men seek for material possessions. They wake up in the morning and go to work, go about their businesses. He said, if you seek her the way people do that, you seek wisdom, you seek understanding, you seek knowledge, he said, then you will discern the fear of God and discover the knowledge of God. Now, please notice those two scriptures. They are the foundations for what I want to continue to talk about today. We began that last Saturday. And that's the matter of, I see I haven't found a very good title for it. But let's just keep teaching. And that's the issue of trying to describe what is most important in life. I started last week by reviewing some things we have said over the many years I've been teaching the Word of God here. And let me just review them for a minute or two. All right? I said, number one, let's summarize it. I said, everyone has a part in life. Life is not haphazard. We read that from the book of Revelation chapter 22. John was describing that if you take away from the prophecies that he has recorded in that book of Revelations, then you will lose your own part. All right? And that's what I'm trying to emphasize in the tree of life, which is recorded, he said, in that book. Each person has a part. You are not born by chance. God did not, you were not able to be conceived, listen to this, until God had written a part for you to fulfill. Life is like a drama, God's grace story. And there are many actors, all right, inside that. And each person is given a body after God has written his part in that great drama. Are you getting my point? We said that. And we said next that success is when you effectively perform your part that God wrote before you were born. Are you getting my point? We said that. That you have a part. You know, I say it all the time. There is nothing that is mine that somebody else can collect. You can only try. It will fall out of your hand. It gravitates towards me. It cannot fit anywhere else until it reaches my hand. Do you follow what I'm saying? My responsibility as a child of God, I'm going to discuss that again today, is to locate my part in life. Not to try and copy other people's parts in life. All right? You know, one of the tragedies, this is my opinion, of life, all right? If I run a company, I will not use, you know this one now, when Glow, MTN, Airtel, they want to advertise, it's Two Face and all these musicians that they put in there. What is his name? Ben Carson said it's a tragedy. Yes. He said they use movie stars and sportsmen. He said they don't, now what he was trying to say is that why don't you use intellectuals to advertise things so as to encourage young people? That young people, they see these things all the time. They think that's the way forward. Now, what I want to say is this, what I'm trying to bring out, is that when we bring those things up there, everybody wants to copy the part of a Motola. Do you understand my point? Yeah, that's what they want to be. They want to copy the part of a Two-Face. They want to copy the part. Now, let's even leave the musicians and entertainers. Even when it comes to ministry, all right, if T.D. Jakes blesses you so much, you want to copy his part, so you start talking like T.D. Jakes. If Pastor Banky bless you so much, you want to copy his part, you start talking like him. All right? You will see many people who are WF Kumuyis all over the place. Do you get what I'm saying? Because they are copying his part. One of the tragedies of life. Each person, you can take examples from people, all right, and be blessed by their lives. Well, please, you have your own part. You are not a photocopy of anybody. You have your own part. We discussed that. Let me not go over that again. All right? And so I said success. It's when you locate your part and you play your own part or become what God says you should be. All right? We said that. Okay? And then we now began to study the book of Mark chapter 4. And we'll pick up from there and then link into what I've done, these ones that we have read now. All right? Now, in Mark chapter 4, let me just read. Okay, let's read from here again. Then I'll read the one we read, the Amplified Bible. Now, it says in verse 24, and it was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you, and more shall be given to you besides. In the Amplified Bible, it says it like this. It said, be careful what you hear. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that will come back to you. My emphasis is the issue of the measure of thought and study. Exactly what Proverbs chapter 4 told us when we read it a while ago, that you seek for her as for what? Hidden treasure, for silver, and as for hidden treasures. You seek for her the way men look out for money. That he was talking about seeking knowledge and understanding. Now, and Jesus was telling us here, the intent, now let me say something quickly. Everything I'm trying to say, the end of it, all right, is to get us as believers to seek the knowledge of God as we seek for money. As human beings seek for money, that's what I'm trying to do. I may preach on this for 10 weeks or 3 weeks or 20 weeks. One thing I want to accomplish, all right, by the Spirit of God, is that you will seek to know God. Now, not just to be a Christian. You know, I've told you before. You see, a lot of things that people do in life, all right? It's pure laziness. I know what I'm saying. Let me give it as an example. You know, I told you last time we were talking about the balance, the key to life. I said liberty is what? Is difficult. Is difficult to handle. Laws are easy. So people find it easy to just copy laws. Now let me tell you something. Sometimes people tell me they are praying. I found out that, you know, please understand what I'm saying. Prayer is very important. Amen. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
That's why we have a school of prayer here too. And on Tuesdays, we study about prayer and we pray. All right? It's very crucial. Now, in fact, my wife has all the school of prayer for last year. It's loaded on our digital Walkman. So every time, that's what she, in the morning, she just put it in her head of the bed. Pastor Banky starts leading in prayer again. You understand? Prayer is very important. But what do I want to say? I know it's important, but a lot of people are not praying because they know how to pray. They are praying because they are lazy in the things that matter. I'm sorry. Let's say it to ourselves truly. I said before that there's a prayer of faith. There's a prayer of laziness. I cannot study to do that which is right. So I just, why worry? I pray. And it is interesting now these days that we speak in tongues. And I dare to say it, most of the tongues are tongues again of laziness. Tongues of I don't know what else to say. They are not tongues of the Spirit. They are not tongues born out of passion. They are not the groanings of the Spirit. They are tongues of there's nothing else to say. Now this guy won't end the prayer point. Let's continue to pray for him. Am I criticizing speaking in tongues? No, Paul, like Paul. He said, I thank my God. Maybe I can't say it like that, all right? But at least I speak in tongues as much as you, if I can't say more than you. Are you following what I'm saying? So I'm not at all criticizing that. I'm just saying that sometimes we Christians engage in laziness and we think it is spiritual. Do you get what I'm saying? When you tell believers, you know, settle down and learn. Learn the ways of God. Learn the word of God. Let the word of God enter into you. Maybe from next week, if I can't get there today, I doubt whether I will be able to. We'll learn the different things that at least I'm able to discern are contained in the word of God. You've heard me in different times say that there's a process, there's a procedures and promises. Yes, but there's a way David said in Psalm 119, which is very interesting to me. He will tell you that, revive me according to thy word. That refers to the promises of God. I studied it. When David says in Psalm 119, revive me according to thy word. Once you see the word, thy word, in Psalm 119, he was describing God's promises towards you. Then he will talk about thy precepts, describes the principles of God. Then he will talk about thy law. That talks about general laws, general righteousness for everybody to know. Then he will talk about thy testimonies. Those are personal laws. Things are right for other people, but not right for you. There are people who say that God said they shouldn't watch television. Don't laugh at them. It's a commandment of God. That's thy testimonies for them. So, once you put on the TV, they get up and walk away. It's not a law for everybody. That's not general righteousness. But in the word of God, you discover all these things. We'll look at the different types later. And the job of every believer is to go out for the precepts of God. That is the principles by which God works. So Paul will tell you, even though I don't have a direct commandment, I know the way God works. So hear it. This is what you should do under such circumstances. And David said, when I walk by thy precepts, when I encounter thy commandments, I am not ashamed. I do not have cause for shame. Christians must learn God's precepts. You must know his promises for your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? You must know his general laws of righteousness. And you must personally have your own testimonies. Things that you don't do, everybody else may do it. Listen, when you put all these things in your heart, that's where we're going. You will discover that the path that God created before you were born, all right, will naturally play out. The fact is that in God, in the kingdom of God, nobody becomes what he desires to become. They only become what God made them to be. Let me tell you something as an example. Jesus did not come up with a desire to save the world. It was the Father that was saving the world, according to Oswald Chambers. Jesus only came to do the will of the Father. Many of the things we do in life, they are distractions from the true will of God for us. Now, you can't struggle. Listen, you know, let me tell you something, all right? We learn a lot of principles of life. And you know, sometimes when I hear those principles, I laugh. Let me tell you what I'm trying to say. If you get this man's book, I read a lot of things. What the Dog Saw and Other Write-Ups by Malcolm Gladwell. You know, recently when there was this Al-Qaeda attacks in the U.S., the Brother Twin Towers and all of those things, then they now set up the Department of Homeland Security that did not exist before, so as to coordinate all the activities of FBI, CIA, National Security Department. You know, they had different ones, you know, about five or six of them. They want to coordinate all the activities. Now, in that book, Malcolm Gladwell explains something. He said people don't realize that the reason why they were separate and not cooperating before was because they found that years ago that was the easiest way to make them more effective. That CIA was trying to outdo FBI, so they became more effective. So they created competition amongst their security networks. Do you understand my point? So that each one became very effective. Decades later, we said that's the reason why they are not effective. Now, I'm going somewhere. When you learn many principles in life, I read them sometimes, I laugh. Because the same things they tell you to do so as to succeed are the same things other people did and did not succeed. And if you look around enough, you will see books written on why you should not do those things. I'm going somewhere, talking about just learning all kinds of things in life. Some time ago, I thought about it. Now, this will make you laugh when I say it. How many people have heard this expression before? Open door. Unless you are not a modern day Pentecostal. Open door. Have you noticed that every trap, the entrance is an open door? I don't know whether you heard me. Every trap in life, the entrance is what? The entrance into breakthrough is open door. The entrance into traps are what? Open doors. So what are we going to do now? So when we see an open door, there's no guarantee that we should run through it. It could be a trap. It could be breakthrough. Why am I saying all of this? There is no principle of success in life for the believer. There's none. I've asked people before. They say, why are you doing? They say, no, the way the thing came, the way the door opened, I go laugh. A door that opens doesn't mean anything. It could be a trap. Go and ask all the rats that are dead. Why did you die? I found open door. I found free food. The Bible says you will live in houses you did not build. So I wanted to eat food that did not grow. That's why I am here. So you died. Yes, I died. You are getting what I'm saying? That is, there's no safety in anything. I see it all the time. Books on how to make money, how to retire rich and retire early, you know, by Robert Kiyosaki. I have read at least four Robert Kiyosakis. You've heard me quote some of his, you know, statements. I'm saying it again to you. There's no safety in any one of them. Like I keep saying, Christians, we learn to do that which is right because they are right. You know what guarantees your future? The promises of God. That's where I'm going to. There's no way to make it in life more than the word becoming flesh and dwelling amongst men. There's no other way. Listen, you know, there's a book I'm reading, Money Will Make You Rich, by Sunday Adelaja. Beautiful book. I hope it is acceptable for me to say something about the book. But then, yes, it's okay. It's a beautiful book. Let me just say something about the book. I hope it's all right for me to do that. Now, the book, all right, when I saw the title and when I started reading the book, it's not exactly what I thought it was about that I found inside. It's a very nice book, written by a very good Christian man, all right? I mean, good pastor. I mean, many of us may know about him. And I'm really enjoying it. But what I want to bring out is something. Listen to this. Listen to this very closely. Initially, somebody had given me the report about some of the things he said, and let me just quote it. I've read it now, but I thought that was the main thing the book was about, all right? He explained some principles that people just talk about sowing and reaping. You've heard me say it a lot of times. And he made a statement. He said, a lot of times when people do this sowing and reaping thing, it's only the man collecting the money that's actually reaping. Those who are giving the money ain't reaping nothing. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's a pastor, so you can't be angry with him, all right? Now, like he said, he didn't say it was wrong. Is that okay? that people should know. That's not what I say. What I was trying to say, there must be a balance. I will keep on here talking all the time about balance being what the key to life. What I want to bring out, all right, from the book is this. But the book is mainly about how Christians can become rich in God. Do you understand my point? And that it's not just about having money, it's about being productive. We've discussed that before if we were here during our spiritual, economic, empowerment, and development strategy seminar. That Christians should be interested in producing goods and services. And that's what real wealth, that is, that's what material wealth comes from. And that real wealth is righteousness. That's what he said. All right? Very nice book. But this is where I'm going. Why describing the principles of how people should deal with money, principles of money and becoming rich? I noticed something. Please, follow me. And if there's somebody that just listened to this, you should please listen to what I want to say. All right? He said he taught these principles. He began to practice them. He said to himself he would make $1 million within 2 years. He did it within 9 months. 7 or 9 months. I began to teach people in his church. And in 2 years, let me not give wrong figures now, scores of people had become millionaires. And there was one, listen to this, please, carefully. There was one half-illiterate pastor who moved down to the church. He was totally poor, properly broke, convincingly lacking. There was no disagreeing about his financial status. He had nothing. And the pastor, they have hundreds of tapes that he taught on financial empowerment. So the pastor managed to get some money here and there and bought all the tapes. Because he was not really literate, he even found it hard to understand what the man was saying. But after many months of struggling, he was able to capture the word. Over the next year or two, he became so rich, he too also became a millionaire. Now, he now gathered people and started teaching them what he had learned. Now, follow me. Now, when I say gathered people, I don't mean gathered, working, rich professionals. Gathered people like himself, like what he used to be, and began to teach them the things he had learned. And he has been on it for like 2 years, and about 255 of them were already making tens of thousands of dollars per annum when they didn't have anything before. There was a drug addict that walked into Sunday Adelaja's church, and it was a drug addict, a tramp, a poor, low down, dirty, you know what I'm saying, human being. Then God delivered the man instantaneously, all right, from drug addiction. Then the man began to listen to Sunday Adelaja and began to apply the principles. He said he first had 2 cents. He went to buy polythene bags and began to sell. Let me make a long story short. Within 2 years or so, the guy was rich, had 4 shops. He had become a millionaire too. He said, Pastor Van, what are you saying? Listen to me. After reading it through and through, I don't believe any one of them became rich because of any simple principles they operated. Listen. They became rich because they attended to his word. Please, listen. He said, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. Don't let them depart from your heart. Keep them in the midst, he said, of your eyes or heart. And which one? That one came first. He said, for their life to those who find them and health to their whole body. They are life. I explained to you before, life is not just that they become alive. If they were not alive, they wouldn't have found them. But their life means that they turn situations around for those who find them. If they were sick, they become well. Listen, if they were poor, they will become rich. Those men did not become rich. I have some spiritual understanding from following simple principles. Their following of Sunday Adelaja's principles was the sign that they believed the words that he spoke. Believe in the Lord thy God and you will be established. Believe also his prophets so you shall prosper. Because they believed the man of God, God released prosperity upon them. I'm not aware of any natural principle that can make multitudes millionaires in 2 years from nothing. I want to teach you from that book. I read the book to me. Forget it. I know there are principles. We will follow them. No, for me, that's not it. It is that God in heaven is pouring a spirit onto the earth through that man of God. And those who attend to his words tap into that spirit. And like I told you, I'm writing an article. I've not really written it yet, but it's already in my mind. I've started it essentially. I said there's what I call the simplicity of divine intervention. When God begins to intervene, it looks simple. That's why men in all of creation, even though his divine power is shown and is made manifest, they still don't give him thanks because it is predictable. This morning I went to go and collect, to go and register. I got there before the registrars of the voter, of the voters list, right? The voters registration thing. So I was waiting. While waiting, some men were talking beside me. One happened to be a Christian. I was talking to his friend, all right? You know, it was Opera Square, so people came to exercise. So I was in my car. I listened to them for quite a long time, all right? And the preacher was obviously telling his friend about divine judgment at a particular point in time, about somebody who died. And his friend said, no, listen, that guy died from a natural cause. He was doing this, and this happened, and he died. Ah! I wanted to interrupt and say that's what I call the simplicity of divine intervention. When God works, it looks like we can understand it. I watched the other day on National Geographic. They explained the volcanic eruption that rained fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding five cities. They explained it. And for some people, you see, the Bible is not true. The story around it is myth. No, I said this is a confirmation of what we are saying. When God is moving, you will see the things he's doing. You need discerning eyes to know it is the act of God. Listen, if it was so obvious that it was God that divided the Red Sea, Pharaoh would not have entered. Is he an idiot? If it was so obvious that this Red Sea parted for the deliverance of the children of Israel, Pharaoh was not a fool. He would not have followed them inside it. They had explanations for why the sea parted. So they didn't understand that it would not hold up for them. I hope you are following what I'm saying. I read the book. I said, I called Yinka. I told him. I told Bishop the same thing. I told it to my wife. I said, these stories are true. But please, let an unbeliever pick the principles and use it. He will get nothing. He will get nothing. God is moving. Are you getting my point? Now, why did I go into all of that? Trying to use that book to illustrate something. I want you to understand that what you are looking for also, I'm back to the main course of my message. What you are looking for in life also is packaged in words. The words have different types. I was telling my wife the other day, I was analyzing what ministries are. There's a church, let me not mention names, because I may sound a bit critical. I listen to the pastor's message. I listen to them. I love listening to him. He's on TV. I told my wife, if you go to this church, you will be an extremely critical believer. This is what I'm making. I noticed something. This particular thing I'm talking about. There's a kind of word that comes from his pulpit. And the other day, I was encouraging my wife to listen to the messages, because it will help you pray a kind of vengeance prayer for this country. You need that. That's one kind of word. There's a kind of word that Pastor Banky will preach from here. That's why I say all the time, a lot of places we call churches, they are not really churches. They are just platforms from which the word of God is being released. I don't know whether I get my point. That's why for me, the number one issue here is that we have MP3 tapes, we have books, we have CDs, we are on TV, we are on radio. It is not those who come here that's the issue. It's that the word of God is entering into the earth. Now, this is what I'm saying. I said, what you are looking for is packaged in what? Words. It's packaged in what? Words. And the words have different types. There's a part of you. Now, when I say you now, you understand what I'm saying? Before you were born, he said to Jeremiah, I knew you. I formed you in your mother's womb. I made you a prophet. I anointed you, appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. So when I say you, I'm not talking about the young priest in Israel. I'm talking about the part that God wrote before Jeremiah was born. Are you getting my point? The same thing for your life. Now, that's you, your part, that thing I'm talking about, was written down, and God sends them in fragments into the earth, and they must become complete. You must get all the pieces into your life before you fully manifest His glory. A part of it for you, or maybe for some people, their major part comes through my mouth. That's I, Banky. But there are some crucial parts that are coming from somewhere else, which no matter how hard I pray, no matter how hard I preach, you can't get it from me. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is what I'm going to bring out. Before you can become what God created you to be, listen, your part, you were written down in His books. You are packaged. You know what I'm talking about, you now? You were packaged as words. What you have here is the body that God made so that His path, His word, your life can come into existence. I don't know what I hear what I say. You sitting down here and nothing in yourself. You are the receptacle that God made. Do you follow me? To receive His glory, which is documented as what? Words. That's why I said at the beginning, listen to me attentively. He said in that Psalm 40 that we read, He said, thy thoughts towards us. The thoughts of God and the word of God, they are the same thing. The word logos. You've heard the word logos. If you've been studying the word of God, there's no difference in meaning between thought and word in logos. What am I saying? Everything that God thought about was written. Then a body was prepared. And that is you that's sitting down here. And before that body can fulfill what God made it to be, can become what God made it to be, it must get the thoughts of God downloaded from heaven. As a matter of fact, it does not come cheap, does not come easy. I told you when I was in earlier, He said, my ears thou has opened. And if you read that in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, He said, a body that has prepared for me was describing the same thing. You see them rendering what the Hebrew man understood, all right, when he wrote it down in Greek. What he was saying is this. For the body to become effective, it must have pierced ears. I don't know what I heard I said. It is the word. That's why the ears are there. It is the word that enters into the body that gives it function. You are useless in life except God's word. You know what I mean? Takes you over. Until then, you are only struggling after the order of the arm of flesh. Until then, you are following the agenda of men, which you think are your own thoughts and ideas. Forget, you don't have anything like that. You don't. Society told you what you needed. You are following the agenda. It's only the word of God that eradicates that for you. Society showed you, in quote, your mates and told you what you needed. Society, they insulted you once. You can't remember. They insulted your father when you were 6, when you were 7. Somebody had him locked up and your mother said it's because your father is poor. As a 6-year-old boy, it entered into your mind. Nobody will ever lock me up because of poverty. You've been chasing money since. It's men that gave you an agenda. You think it is God. You went to school where your classmate on the right is the son of a minister. The one on the left, the son of a bishop. The one in front, his father is a diplomat. The one behind, the father is an MD of one big company in the country. And your teacher one day asked you in class, who's your father? And you had nothing to say. You were 10. But since then, you have sworn, it's in your heart, you swore that in this life you must be important. Nobody must embarrass your children like this. Men gave you an agenda. You have been sowing seeds. Oh God, every pastor that needs money finds in you. Why? Because you have been sowing seed for prosperity, not knowing that your seed is to kill the rejection you felt at the age of 10. I said something earlier when I was talking about open doors, traps, and everything. You've been pursuing principles. of prosperity. You've been pursuing many things in life. And the problem people like me have trying to teach the word of God is that I don't even know how to separate. If I tell you don't pursue that thing, I'm telling you that the principles are not true. Meanwhile, the principles are true. An open door is good. To enter into breakthrough, you need an open door. Then the same guy is opening his mouth now and telling you that open door could be leading to a trap. How does a man keep himself from such traps? Simple. There's no principle. That's what I'm saying. You can chase any principle around. That's not the point. What delivers you is when the word of God begins to enter into you. That word, there's a way it works. You will get to the open door that leads into a trap and you won't be able to enter. And you will not notice the open door that leads into a breakthrough and somebody will kick you into it. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Do we need open doors in life? Yes. Can they lead to traps? Most certainly. Should you bother about them? Don't worry your head. Drink. Do you get my point? The word of God. Inhale it. Eat it. Swim in it. I remember then somebody told me once, I told you many years ago, I went to Adwekiti to go and do, I used to spend my leave there working with the pastor of the church that I attended when I was a house officer. And some men came from Wale Oke's ministry. They came to organize a program. So because my pastor was a point man in town, I got involved. So we used to go to places together. There were two ministers, young ministers. I also was with them. So we used to chat extensively. So issue, of course, young men, three single men. I think all of us were single, or maybe one of us was married, I don't know. But we used to chat extensively. So this will enter into marriage matters also. So one day, when I finished, you know, sharing the things I understood about marriage, single boy, you know, share. One of the men, I still remember, called me and said, he said, bro, are you married? I said, no. Ah! He was alarmed. He said, you're not married? I said, no, I'm not married. He said, and you're in Lagos? So what's the problem with Lagos for a single man? He said, be careful of Lagos sisters, though. That's where I'm going. I said to him, is that what the problem is? Ross, forget him. Then I quoted from him for him one of my favorite scriptures again. From the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. He said, there is a woman, was describing a wicked woman, whose heart is a trap, whose hands, he said, are chains. And I quoted the next line for him. I said, the Bible says, the one who is pleasing to God will escape from her. There is a sinner that will be enticed. Then I give a prophetic word. I said, even though I'm in the midst of 1,000 Jezebels, I can't marry one. Say, Pastor Banky, what's the principle of not marrying a Jezebel? I don't know. But I can give you 7 manifestations. Jezebel can die the day before the wedding. Pastor Banky can break a leg before the day of the wedding. Or a final, more handsome, richer fellow will sweep Jezebel away 2 days to the wedding. That's the third manifestation. I mean, the Holy Spirit, all right, we enter into a few policemen. They will arrest Pastor Banky the 2 days before the wedding and lock him up, right? Amen? No, I'm telling you different things. Different. Look, go and read Kenny Hagin's story. You will see how God delivered him through visions and revelations from Jezebels, who were in his choir, and he was a single pastor. So how will a young man prevent union with Jezebels who divorced Ahab? I have no single principle. You understand? Those principles I don't have. But I know one thing. If he is pleasing to God, any Jezebel that wants to live long had better leave him alone. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's how a man is delivered according to his word. He is delivered according to the word of God. Not because he tried. That's what I'm trying to bring out. It is not the trying. It is that the word becomes flesh and delivers him from Jezebel. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why I told you everything I'm trying to preach is to bring us. This is not study to cramp. Like I heard my wife when she was leading prayer earlier. That I explained something to her earlier today. That you know, people go to school. You know what happened was that she wanted to put moisture in some things, and she was like, how can she do it? So I began to analyze. I was trying to explain something. She was getting my point. I was telling about how cooling happens, evaporation happens, and condensation happens. And she was looking at me like, what are you talking about? And she now said that's why I didn't do physics. I said, no, that's not why you did not do physics. This is because you didn't do physics is why you don't know it. Do you follow my point? So she now said, it's the same thing. I said, it's not the same thing. I said, this is a problem with a lot of people when it comes to sciences. So I said to her, it's the reason why a lot of people don't understand science is because they don't realize it's life. And that those who really did physics and chemistry properly, they knew it was life. I remember then when we were in secondary school, we would go home and test what we're taught in school. We would put Abbott or Nelcon and Packard down and join wires according to what is written inside the book, and it will function. I made an electric bell. Nobody helped. I'm telling you, I made an electric bell around the age of 12, 13. I'm serious about that. Age of 12. It just said it's metal. We turn the metal. Wind. It didn't work. One of them said it didn't work. I didn't hang it on the wall, but if we held it, it used to ring. Wind the copper. Wind the copper. Join here. Yeah. Touch them. It worked. So for all it was life. Are you getting my point? Now, for most people, physics will be difficult because they think it's just about memorizing diagrams. You get what I'm saying? Now, this is what I'm going to. We carry that habit in school into the Word of God also. That's where I'm going. So church is theory. That's why men go to church and they don't listen. They are waiting for when the pastor will start declaring. I told you before, the Word of God has different segments. If you were here, or if you were not here, listen to the message. It was a Tuesday. For those of us who were here, you remember when I talked about blessing for the blessed man. If I shout now, it shall be well with you. There are satellites broadcasting every day. DSTV is broadcasting. Is it true that it shall be well with you has powerful signals? Yes! But will you receive it if you don't have the decoder? No! Even though you receive it, you don't pay your subscription, what happens on your TV? You are not authorized to view this channel or your account has been suspended. Many people without decoders, without subscriptions, they go to where broadcast is coming forth. It shall be well. Amen. It shall be well. Amen. And it is not well with them. Not because the prophet is telling lies, but because they don't have the parts complete. That's what I'm saying. I said the Word of God comes in different segments. There are people, listen, as an example, I teach. All right? Maybe they've listened to me teach. As an example, the reason to teachers, their lives have been transformed by the word for maybe 2, 3, 4 years. And God says, it's time for breakthrough. He said, but there's one key I need to add that Banky does not give. I don't know whether I get the point. And that's okay. Go and listen to, as an example, Sunday Adelaja. Then you spend 2 weeks in the school of financial empowerment. The following week, bam, doors open. This is why how ignorant people talk. They say, only 2 weeks. God say, yeah. Oh boy, it was 5 years and 2 weeks. That is, you were not able to receive these 2 weeks. Were it not that your previous 5 years were intact? Alanka, was it I was sharing this with, was it today or yesterday? That I was explaining the fact that sometimes here people say that if I knew then what I know now, gist, you could not know then what you know now because you require the last 10 years to develop the capacity to know what you know now. You hear it said all the time, people say that, when I came to Enugu, land here was 10,000 naira. Now it's 15 million. I said, there is land going for 10,000 naira now. That will be 15 million in 10 years' time. When my father moved down to maybe Ibadan, he carried those days, he too had land that was going for one shilling that became 10,000 naira later. And as that time, there was land going for 10,000 naira, which is now 10 million naira. Did I buy? No.
The word of God has different parts. That's why I keep on saying, I've heard preachers say it all the time. He said, those days, we did not know. I heard a man say, one day, I used to preach a very long gospel. Now I preach only 45 minutes and the church is growing. And when I hear it, it pains me. It pains me. Why the man doesn't understand or does not realize, okay, that the reason why 45 minutes message today can bring a church of 10,000 people was because 1.5 hour message, 10-hour messages those days brought only 20 people. If any confused young man follows you only from your 45-minute message days, he's in trouble. Why? Because the word of God has many parts. Like we said in the matter of balance, you take hold of one and you don't let go of the other. People tell me that if we knew then, you couldn't have known then why you misbehave. You couldn't have known. That's why Solomon, after considering and considering and considering, he said, this is the summary of it. Fear God, obey his commandments. He said, to the making of books, there is no end. Ah, those of you know well, I'm a doctor, you know. Apart from being a doctor, I'm a specialist and I teach. I'm in the academic sector, so I read. And I have not seen more confusion in life as I see in science. I hope I don't sound too harsh. Only a moron will tell me there's no God. Because you see total confusion. Science will tell you, if you drink too much water, there's trouble. Then you pick the next journal and say, if you don't drink enough water, wahala day. Then the third journal will tell you the difference between trouble and wahala. The fourth journal will reconcile the similarity between trouble and wahala. Then the other one said that it depends on how the water comes. Is this steam or ice? Then one will say, did you harvest it from the roof or from under the ground? They will go on and on and on and on and on. But the word of God has only said one thing. Your bread will be given you, your water will be sure. That's all this confusion. Solomon said, it is in the realm of the making of books, there is no end. Are you getting my point? That is, there's so much confusion in life. There's no safety in all of them. They keep writing, do like this today. If you do like this, you will prosper. If you don't do like this, you won't prosper. Oh, that one I gist. The truth is that you need the word of God. Let me use the word. Gathered, arranged, stitched properly into your heart. Once the whole thing is formed. Once the whole thing is formed. All other things are added to you. Do you know the other day I was thinking? You know why I was saying all the things I said is that people now start writing principles on how to drink water and succeed and how not to drink water and succeed. Not knowing that one man's meat is another man's poison. Is another man's poison. People don't realize that it's only in the word. Oh God, when God enters you, when his word enters you, he leads into where you will succeed. You know, the other day, you know, one young man came and made a mistake. He said, I should help him review a book. I told him I didn't know him, so I liked his spirit. You know, I like when young people are, you know, trying to do something. You know, I like it when young men are walking, you know. So the young man said he was writing. And because he had listened to me a lot on radio, say I'd bless him so much, so he came that I should help him write a foreword to the book. So I explained to him I couldn't. That to him, to me, he's a stranger. So, I mean, it's not right. You know, you don't just, you're not shorty for a stranger. It's not allowed, all right? So, he now gave me the, and I said, okay, I'll do you a favor. I will read the book, all right? I'll make corrections for you, and I'll give it back to you. That I will do for you. So, I did that. Except that when I read the book, I called him one day, I said, who taught you this nonsense you wrote in here? I said, my friend, go and remove that thing. I'm going somewhere. Among the things he wrote, if you want to succeed in life, don't go to school. Because schools don't allow you to open your mind. Know this nonsense that people read from Robert Kiyosaki without knowing the balance in it. The men who have made it, they didn't read. The men who have... I said, oh boy, will you stop that rubbish? And by the way, let me just tell you something quickly, so that Nigerians will know. They like to quote that Bill Gates and Michael Dell were dropouts. Please, Bill Gates is not your kind of dropout. When a Nigerian says somebody is a dropout, it means only one of two things. That means one of only two things, sorry. It means one of only two things. Either he so failed, they kicked him out, or he did not have money and he ran away. Bill Gates is none of the above. Michael Dell, none of the above. Both of these men had money to pay for their school and their tuition. They just had other things to do. And in both cases, they were not failing. They were busy. Are you getting my point? They were busy. Some of them were so busy. I think it was, I've forgotten which of them. Now, let me not one of these two I mentioned. Another guy. That by the time they opened, they hired their teacher. High school kids. When they opened their business, one of the people they hired in a short while later was their class teacher. So please, when you want to quote dropout, a Nigerian dropout who becomes a counselor in PDP in his local government is not like Bill Gates. You know, Nigeria, when you see layabouts, knockabouts, nothing going for anything, he now starts equating himself with Bill Gates that we are both dropouts, you're an idiot. No, I need to set that straight. I am not saying a Nigerian dropout can't succeed. Are you getting my point? I didn't say that. I am just saying that, I mean, after I just told stories about Sunday Adela Jazz Church, that people dropped out of school, life dropped them, you know, according to Gordon's, when God wanted to save them, he wore gloves. You know, it's not me. It's that comedian that said it. It's Gordon's that said that too. So, the reason why I said that. So, I just wanted to balance the issue of, let people know. So, the young man wrote the book and said all those things. If you want to succeed, don't go to school. You know me, I don't believe that school is a guarantee for anything. You know me. But I also say we do things because they are what? They are right. Education is good, amen? Nobody should tell me that the only way to succeed is to resign from school. Oh my God. I will beat you. So the young... Now, there's a reason why I'm saying so. What causes the confusion? Now, listen, R.G. Letourneau, there's this book some of us are reading right now, Mover of Men and Mountains. I read the story also. Okay? And the man also dropped out of school. That's the reason why I told that story. So people won't get hung up. Hey, drop out. Go and read the billionaires of this earth. Warren Buffett didn't drop out from anywhere. He has, I think, a PhD, but at least an MSc, a master's. And the principle he used to gather billions, he became the richest man in the world, all right, was learned in his master's class from one of his professors. Do you get my point? Larry Ellis, Ellison and Co., all right? Those guys, they went to school. So there's no... People who go to school, they make money. Those who not go to school, they make money. All of us, we meet at the judgment seat of Christ. That's what I'm going to explain. So don't go and write a book that men who want to do well in life, they run away from school. Now, why am I saying all of that? It's because people start taking... They start following one line. Ajay Letourneau walked out of school. The man made it very, very well. If you see the circumstances under which he left school, it's very funny. In one class, he was not doing well. Then one day, he learned how to study. He jumped to the top of the class. Then they double promoted him. And he went to the bottom of the other class. So your girlfriend said, and said, he's not going to school again. But he became a believer. Are you getting my point? And the Holy Spirit entered into him. That's when I'm back to my main message. All right? And that produced success in him. People not knowing that, they start following that. At the age of 16, Letourneau left school. Then you walk out of school. And your part in his book does not say, don't go to school. Or after leaving school, are you getting my point? You don't realize that it is not lack of education that made Letourneau succeed. It is not his lack of education. It was his spirit that entered into him. Are you getting my point? That was what set him on his feet. What am I explaining? There are different circumstances in life. You get the point? There are different. circumstances that play out. That's what I want to say. When the word has entered into you, life tends to send us up and down, away from the main thing that will put us in charge in life. There's something I've said many times. I even wrote about it. Then I now saw a cartoon my children were watching, and one of the wise cartoon characters there told the other one, say, men often encounter their destinies on the path they choose to run away from it. Now, what am I going to explain all of these things? What we try to do, all right, sometimes, is that instead of settling down and focusing on what matters, a young woman will say, because I suffered as a young lady and my mother suffered, I will never marry a man who's not rich. You see what I'm saying? And like that wise man said, in trying to run away from that, you know what she will do? She'll go and marry a man who's currently, who last week, last month, was PDP chairman's right-hand man. So he had a lot of money. So they did wedding. The following week, they finished primaries. They sacked the PDP chairman. But she's already married. She has married him. Then the poverty of her father she was running away from begins before the end of 2011. Young men do that also. That's why I tell people, listen to me. Listen. You know, I told you before, God never said, Christians, you enjoy suffering. You've heard me say it before. He never said, enjoy suffering. What he said you should do is what? Endure. If he said endure, he knows it is painful. God made pain fibers. People think that pain came as a result of the fall. It's not true. Before the fall, if Adam had caught himself, he for shout, ah, Eve, he. Something did happen. Adam for shout. What am I saying? God made pain. Pain in your body. So, what he means is that he made the fiber so that when you feel it, you know to get away from it. I use that to emphasize the fact that God didn't call us to suffer. No, that's all. He didn't do that. But when suffering comes, in the path of fulfilling our destinies, we endure it. That's what I'm saying. So, if you have a fear, are you getting my point? There's nothing wrong. It is not holiness and righteousness to say, me, I like poverty. Any man who likes poverty is mad. Did you hear what I said? If you see a man get up and say, why are you not getting up and going out to do your business and trying to make money or get a better job? He say, after all, what is a man looking for apart from this slice of bread? I already have it. He's sick. What people like me preach, you must understand what I preach. When I tell a man that, you don't have to go to America to make it, I'm not saying the desire to succeed in life is alien to Christianity. I'm only saying that we don't follow material things as our source of success. That's why I'm going again. We know where to go. So if you have the fear of poverty, if failure is something that's scaring you, this is where I'm going to. Don't take worldly steps to stop it. That's what I'm saying. It is okay to be concerned about those things. What we do is that we now return to the word of God. Is in relating and imbibing with God, and imbibing the word of God, relating with the word of God, that is when we discover our own steps out of what we are afraid of. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. The young woman will not just say that, no. When they broke out, say, Sister Angie, how far now? Can I see your payslip? She won't start interviewing him. Do you have many responsibilities in your family? Do you have a car now? When do you graduate? How come you don't have a car till now? She done the check whether this guy go make money or you know go make money. That is called carnally minded. Are you getting my point? Carnally minded is not the fact that you bought makeup. There's one channel I see on TV, they make me laugh. Say, I now left all those things of the world. Your heart is still in the world. You are doing it because you didn't paint your face. Are you getting what I'm saying? Carnal minded is that you look the guy first, check in CV, total in pay over the last 12 months, and then check the progression of promotion over the last 6 years. Your X curve and Y curve, when you balance them, man, the guy never, nothing for him. He said, bro, go pray again. That was why what that wise man, that cartoon said, that men often encounter their destinies on the path that they are taking to run away from it. That girl will meet it in front. What should she do? I've thought about this several times. So what she would do is to kneel down and say to God sincerely, Baba God, I won't lie to you. I don't want to suffer. And God will say, I didn't create you for suffering too. It's the devil. It's not me. It's the devil. He said, Lord, what do I need to do so that I will not suffer? He said, follow me and I will make you. Then she starts following. Are you getting my point? I'm following. Is he, oh God, oh God. Let me say something to you. This year, it's good to rise up and pray. Amen. But rise up and study. You've been rising up and praying for the last 3 years. No, be so. This year, rise up and study. Take your Bible. Start from Genesis. Aye, God. Start reading. Not reading. You know, there's this quiet time you learned as a child. That's not the one I'm talking about. This is that you have prayed. Are you getting my point? And you have heard that there's a path that God made before you were made. And you want that path to come down from the heavens onto the earth. And that path is encoded in words. No, I've said this several times today. That path is encoded in what? In words. And those words have been fragmented by God and they are dropping in pieces here and there. So your job, we're back to Proverbs chapter 2, is to seek for her as men seek for money. You can't. Listen, let me tell you something. I found out one thing about God there. The way he has designed us. He doesn't remove the troubles in the world first. He makes us in such a manner that if we are not floating by the power of his spirit, we will always go under. Listen, the world is not going to become so friendly to you so that they will lift you up. No, it's the power of the spirit that will keep you afloat. So what God says to that young woman or that young man is simple, okay? It's simple. Read your Bible. Pray. Hear messages. Get the word. When the word enters into you, you will marry a man that's very poor. Your very presence imparts prosperity into him. I have discovered that God is very kind to everybody. We say in Africa, if we don't eat yam because of oil, we eat oil because of yam. Have you heard that thing before? What God says is that if I don't make sister A marry sister B, so that if I don't make sister A marry brother B, so that she can become rich, I will make her marry him so that he can become rich. I don't know what I hear what I said. It's a story I've told several times before. I read in Reader's Digest. A woman stood one day, a man stopped, very rich man, stopped at a filling station to buy fuel. While doing that, he walked into the supermarket there to buy some things. On his way back, he saw his wife chatting with the attendant. So later on, he said, you know that guy? I said, I knew him. He was my friend when we were in secondary school those days. The guy wanted to marry me, but you know the way things turned out. So the guy looked at her and said, God save you. You will have been the wife of a filling station attendant. The woman said, I lie. If I had married him, he would have been a rich man. You would have been in one filling station somewhere, dispensing fuel. That is, I brought prosperity into your life. I know when you married me, I didn't look like it. But believe me, when God wanted to bless you, he looked for an excuse. He said, now that he's the husband to my beloved daughter, so that she will never suffer, I must make this moron rich. You are getting what I'm saying? You understand the principle? Why? Because that's how life is. Because the lady went in, drank of the spirit. Are you getting my point? And that is causing her to float. So the wise man who held onto her hand floated with her. That's life. Your path is written. It's encoded in what? Words. Your job is not to go out looking for a good job. Hey, how do I say this? When you have become something, good jobs will wait until you come. I told you, I've read all kinds of books. 72 Habits of Highly Effective People. I like one thing Lotono said in that book. He said, I had one good luck on my side. I didn't know how to plan. That if I had known how to plan, I would never have invented some of the machines I invented. They did not make economic sense. But because I did not understand the principles of arranging, plotting, how money is coming, how money will be dispensed, once I saw some money, I just invented the next machine and used all my money to build it. That if I had sense, thank God I did not have sense. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why I said that you can read all kinds of principles. To the writing of books, there is no end. So when you are saying, when you are hearing, learn the principle of this, learn them because they are good. Are you getting my point? Don't guarantee nothing. They don't. That book I told you about at the beginning, Money Will Make You Rich. Beautiful book, I'm enjoying it. I'm reading it. If you see, I'm reading and writing on it. But I told my wife, when I finish, it's your turn. It will be your turn. You read both the book and the things I wrote in it, you know. It's a very nice book. But after reading it, I said, bro, if you think you can just take those principles like that, remove it from the anointing upon the words, remove it from the anointing upon the man, remove it from the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and succeed. All right. God will use you as an example of how all flesh is grass and the goodliness thereof and like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of God upon it. You get what I'm saying? I think I've finished my message for today. Let me summarize it and we'll leave here. Your path is recorded in what? Words. As words. Then heaven, God recorded them as words. There's nothing you can wish for or pray about that's not recorded before you began to desire it. The Bible says it's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, far above all you can ever ask or begin to even conceive. So that one is for sure. No human being has a capacity to think better for himself or herself than God has. No. You don't have the... It's not in you. It's not in you. You don't have it. You don't have it. You don't have it. You don't. So whatever you are dreaming, whatever good you are dreaming for yourself, God planned it before you began to dream it. He did. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that one that he planned, that I said is recorded inside his book, it is your job to start reaching out for it. And like we said, don't forget Proverbs chapter 2. That's where I am right now. That's the main thrust of this whole thing. We'll go into the practicals of it later on. All right? He said, you seek for her as men seek for money. That's what I'm saying. You look for it like it is hidden. And as a matter of fact, God hides things. He does. He does. The Bible says he has hidden them for the upright. Now, the reason why he hides them, well, I don't know for sure, but one thing is that he has to demonstrate that you really want it. That's it. God doesn't give to you what you don't value. He said, don't cast your pearls before swine. So, if you understand the power in his word, my brother, my sister, that's where you spend your energy. That's where you are going to spend your energy. I'm coming to a point that is in these teachings to let people understand this. All right? That if men, you know, a friend of mine called me the other day, was telling me about plans they were making for his brother and all of that. He was telling me fees, school fees, you know, school fees, undergraduate, tuition, 600,000 naira a year in this our country. Man, that's private university. If they go to a school nearby in a country like Ghana, $11,000 per annum. Yeah. The Nigerians have money. They say when you get a Nigerian food, your school's well. Now, let's even leave undergraduate. Postgraduate. To go to Lagos Business School, you know how much people spend? What's their tuition now? Should be like 2 point something or 3 million. How much? 2 million. To get an MBA. To get an MBA. You know, I can. If you can be an accountant, be, I can, you know? They say it like that. I don't know about now, those days. When you see what people do to pass ICAN, in ICAN, enough you cheat. You can't bribe the lecturer. You don't know anybody. So the only thing you can do is what? Read. You get one place for Sulere, near Western Avenue there, at a school there. People will leave their homes and camp there. Early in the morning, men and women included, they will sneak out of classroom early in the morning to go and quickly have a bath behind the classroom and come back and continue reading. Why? Because they want to be chartered as accountants. Not because they love accounting. Some of them have BSc in chemistry. Some, no, I'm telling you, science. Some have BA in history. Some have in journalism. That is as far from accounting as is possible. But their own is that once I chatter, like they say, or more, when I chatter like this, I chatter like glass or something. He said, once I chatter, they know, say, job. Faith in that qualification. They don't give a damn about accounting. My wife did an MBA in this executive MBA they do here. In her class are all kinds of people. I don't think, most of them don't care about what they're learning. Just give me the paper. Why? I have to get promotion. I have to apply for another job. In that next job, I have to show them my new qualifications. What am I saying? That's how men seek for silver. That's what I'm explaining. That's how they do it. If indeed we know that our destinies, our path, all right? That path is recorded, your own path in the word. I dare to say, you will also run away from your house to one corner in Western Avenue and rush out in the morning to have a bath. In Harmattan, when it is cold, you won't go home. You know the interesting part? I've done things similar to that. I have. I'm not joking. Sounds funny. Now just think about it now. I've done things similar to that. I remember when I used to go for school of ministry in Winners those days. That's like, it's something like that. We'll sit down, there's no work. Couldn't go on break. I remember when I would go for that. You know, there's a story about Ron Kennelly that I tell all the time. I heard it from his mouth direct when he came to Victory Christian Center in Lagos those days. I was JJC in Lagos. Go that distance. You couldn't go home for break or anything. Just a loiter around, look for where you sit down, put your head against the wall to take a nap, and hear preaching morning, afternoon, and night. And start coming back home at 11 p.m. I did a few things like that those days. I think Christians should do it. We love to pray all night. Like I said, most of the prayer is what? Prayer of ignorance, laziness, idleness. The prayer of joblessness, prayer of confusion, prayer of what else shall we do? We have tried every other thing. This is the only thing left. All kinds of prayers. But tell men, and this is what I have found out to be the most serious challenge that Christians have today. Tell them, guys, we have prayed enough. Settle down. Let's discover what the Lord is saying. That is where we have a problem. After listening to two messages, we think God should give us a certificate. I sat down and listened to you for 2 hours. God, you supposed bless me. Let me tell you the truth. The other day, my wife and I were talking about fasting again. Somebody sent an email and said, Pastor Bank does not believe in fasting. Say, you're the only man of God I've seen that doesn't see the necessity in fasting. Explain. Lanka, did I say that? What I said is hunger and fasting are two entirely different things. A lot of Christians is part of idolatry. You know, it's, you know, drawn down from the days of penance. You want to suffer for God. You know what I mean by suffer for God? God, since my stomach is perforating because of you, you must bless me. And I explained to my wife that it doesn't work like that. You know how it works? The time of fasting is not a time of hunger. It's a time of quietness and concentration. Until, listen to me, you get a word from above. Where I differ from most people is that if while concentrating, hunger is a distraction, I shall use a slice of bread and a cup of tea to remove the distraction and continue praying. That's where I differ. That is where I differ. That's where I differ. I don't understand men saying they are fast, they get up and run around their business, meeting one client after the other. Do you get my point? At the end of the day, what's happening? Say, I'm fasting. Why? Because you are hungry. You ain't fasting. You're busy. You are doing business. That's not fasting. That's business. That's business on an empty stomach. That's what you are doing. What I'm trying to say is that what we need as believers is time to concentrate. You will tell yourself, the beginning of this year, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving my house till 10 in the morning. Let's assume I work for somebody. But if it's my business, I can close 2 weeks down. Guys saying I'm not coming. What you guys can't manage, let it not be managed. I wake up early in the morning, I bring out a tape. I like that little device I just bought for my wife. Loaded hundreds of hours and messages on it. It has a capacity. Just press play. Listen to one first thing in the morning. Then when you put it off, you bring out a book. Or you bring out your Bible, read a line, and begin to pray. And say, Father, I know that there's a part that I have with you. I need revelation. He said, the righteousness of thy testimonies, they are everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Say, Lord, give me understanding. Listen, you do that for 1 month. When you come out, your business will face a different direction that may not make sense to other people. But you are walking by understanding, by revelation. That's what Christians use. When you are finished succeeding, they will not start writing a book about you too. This is how business is done. Then the next set of moguls will follow them. Not knowing that the main thing, I told you that when people are writing books, there are things they don't see. They will not write those your early morning time. They won't write it. They didn't see it. You were doing it alone in the house. You need to fast this year, amen? The difference between fasting and hunger, as far as Pastor Banky is concerned. I hope you've gotten my point. I hope you've gotten my point. I'll continue to build it up from here next time. Let us pray. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Father, we thank you.